That well-known cat, Garfield, in one comic strip, his owner, John Arbuckle, asks him, "Why are you so angry?" And then Garfield just looks at him and says, "I will think of something." Many people, most people probably in our time, would associate with that remark. Most of us feel angry. We get out of bed angry. There's so many things wrong in the world today that we can't even begin to name all the reasons why we feel this anger that is bottled up inside all of us. But what is anger? Well, anger is a blame shifter. The one thing about anger that it's always somebody else's fault. Anger always shifts the blame from me, myself, and I to somebody else, to this system, to him, her, them. It's always their fault that I'm this angry. They did this to me. They caused this hardship in my life. I'm not to blame. Anger shifts the blame from inside to others. Secondly, anger is also a replacement for guilt feelings. I think one of the most difficult emotions and feelings to deal with is guilt. It tears you apart on the inside. Guilt is this inner thing that always makes me feel less and more ashamed, less than what I'm supposed to be. And I'm always ashamed because of what I did wrong. So when I can replace guilt with anger, then it's their fault. I've a few times in my life experienced that people are angry at me when I did some good things to them. And then I realized in the end, they feel guilty. And to replace the guilt, they turn it into anger. Then they're back on the moral high ground. I'm angry at him because he did this to me. He was too good to me. Why didn't he do this and that and the other? It's irrational. Thirdly, anger is also a cover up for personal issues and wrong things. Sometimes anger just covers up stuff that we don't want to face, even sin and wrong things. We wreck a relationship and we don't want to deal with it. And then anger becomes the expression. I'm angry at this person, this friend, this family member, this person at my office, because I can't deal with the fact that I haven't asked them that I'm sorry or confessed that I did something wrong that hurt them. And then it turns into anger. And anger sort of like suppresses all these deep inner personal feelings that I experience. But it's also an outlet for pain. Pain and anger go hand in hand. It's the expression of this inner feeling. And it's extremely dangerous. It's highly toxic. It poisons me from the inside and it spills over because anger resides in my heart, in my emotions, in my deeds. My body can even remember anger. It even becomes part of my muscle memory. So bad is anger that gets free boarding and lodging in my heart. But the worst kind of anger today is when we take anger and project it on God. And this is where we start with Psalm 73, anger projected on God. The author, Asaph, writes this psalm when he's really angry. Let's read a few verses, shall we? And I'm starting from verse 1. "Surely God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They had no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. They scoff," verse 8, "and speak with malice, with arrogance, they threaten opposition." Verse 9, "Their mouths lay claim to heaven and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up their waters in abundance. they don't care about God. Verse 11 says, and then in verse 12, Asaph says, this is what the wicked are, free of care. Surely in vain, verse 13, I have kept my heart pure and I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. But you see, Asaph is not only angry at others, he's not only envious, but he projects his anger into a religious issue with God. He's actually saying that he's busy losing his religion, or he was in the process of losing his religion. And this is the worst kind of anger, when God becomes the accused. God as the accused when things go wrong. It's so easy to point fingers at heaven. Now, we've blamed everybody else. It's my family, my colleagues, the country, you name it. And now the last person standing, if you will, God. God, it's your fault. You are now the accused. You should have stopped this. You should have prevented this. You should have done what you're supposed to do, the God thing. People who do this also turn God into the guilty party. So it's not only God as the accused, but God as the guilty when good things happen to bad people, but not to me. So why, God, must all the bad people get all the good stuff? Why must the colleagues at work and my neighbors have all the good things and I suffer? Like Asaph, every morning new troubles and new things that go wrong. Why don't you do something about it? I mean, you're God. So God, you're the guilty, the accused and the guilty. And thirdly, you're also the cause. That's even worse. When nothing in my life makes any sense. God as the cause when nothing in my life makes any sense. Just the other day, a person literally stormed me at a place and said to me, it's God's fault. I'm finished with God. I prayed, I did my religious duties, and God left me on my own. I'm a broken man. I lost everything. It's God's fault. I'm finished with religion. And then I asked him, just tell me, when things went your way, when your life was so-called blessed and everything worked out well, whose fault was that? Did you also blame God? You know, God, you're too good. Stop this or whatever. So, and did you serve him when everything went well? Or is it only now that you've lost everything that you blame God? You didn't serve him before, and now you're still not serving him, and you're only blaming him. It's a very dangerous, slippery slope that you're on. Because it becomes toxic. Anger that's not addressed turns you into a toxic person. It poisons everything. It steals joy. It steals hope. It steals basic human decency. It steals morality. Nobody can get close to you anymore. And finally, it steals your faith. But there's good news. God can take such accusations. The good news, God has survived worse things than Asaph's little interaction with him. God has faced the Israelites in the desert for 40 years. God has faced the church for more than 2,000 years. God has faced human reality for as long as it took. So God can take it. And the good news, God even invites angry people to come and share their anger, to bring their burdens to him. And this is the second part of this beautiful psalm. When anger shifts to insight and peace in Psalm 73. Asaph in verse 15, let me read this, makes the first remark. He says, if I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed our children. So in other words, Asaph understands to allow free access to anger is to live a toxic life. Asaph does an amazing thing. He gives himself a second opinion. Most people don't do that. Angry people are irrational most of the time. But Asaph realized, this is ruining me. I'm drinking my own poison day after day after day. I'm giving it free access, free boarding and lodging. Is this fair to me? No. Is it fair to my family, as he asks, to my children? No. So let's stop this. And then he does a second thing. He goes into God's presence. Reflection in God's presence brings freedom. Just hear how he puts it. Verse 17. Let me read verse 16 as well. When I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood the final destiny of all the sinners, etc. But the one thing that Asaph does, the crucial thing that shifts his life out of the grip of anger and the toxicity thereof to a life of freedom in the Lord, is to enter into the Lord's presence as is. He didn't first sort out his troubles like people sometimes think, because some people think you can only access God's presence when you're perfect. They forget to read the sign in God's sanctuary, all people welcome. Come as you are. God will receive you as you are. And then Asaph came, the angry Asaph. The Asaph who thinks life has dealt him the worst card in the pack. He's in God's presence. And now he starts reflecting. He starts thinking. And he realizes my life is my life was taken over by anger. It's taken up all the space in my heart, all the space in my mind. It has taken up all my words. So every time when I talk to other people, it's just outpourings of anger. I'm angry at this and angry at that. I'm angry at everything and at everybody. But God, this cannot go on. And then his heart becomes still and quiet in the presence of the Almighty. And then Asaph realizes the following. God is not away when problems are near. Hear how he writes it in verse 23 to 25. Yet, now he addresses God. Yet, I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. This was just after he confessed in verse 20 and 22 that he was embittered, that he was like a brute beast before God. And then this senseless way of life gives way to a man who is open in the presence of the Lord, and he experiences a wonderful, deep spiritual principle. God is not away when problems are near. God did not emigrate when problems migrated into your life. God did not flee when pain and suffering knocked at the door. God is not away. He's never away. What a sense, what a sensing by Asaph. That's why he could say, I'm always with you. You hold me by the right hand. I wanted to get my hand out of your grip of grace, but you always hold me by the right hand. You are the true Father in heaven, even with all your angry children, even when we mess up everything. God is not away. God is not away. He puts it even in even more brilliant terms when he says, God is with me, even though life is hard. In verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Asaph knows life will never be easy. Now he makes peace with that. No, it's not as if all his problems disappeared in an instant. This is not what he's saying. But he realized God is in the midst of this all. We're still awaiting the new heaven and the new earth. God is here in my mess, in my pain, in all the unfairness of life. The King of heaven and earth joined up with me. God is with me. Emmanuel, although life is still hard. God walks with me. Therefore, I can walk with him. Therefore, I'm not the prodigal son any longer, the prodigal child who's always at loggerheads. What a foolish thing to do, to try to give free boarding and lodging to anger, the worst of all kinds of emotions. It tore me apart. The God of peace, the God of all understanding, the God of all love, the God of all kindness and mercy, is the God that showed up in Asaph's life. And then he learns yet another principle that he shares with us. It is good to live anger-free and close to God. It is good to live anger-free and close to God. Hear how he puts it in verse 28. But as for me, he says, I'm just going to talk on my own behalf. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Did you hear how he ends this psalm? This psalm that started out with an angry young man, blaming everybody, pointing his finger to heaven. God, it's you. You should have taken care of me. You should have helped me. You the accused. You the guilty partner. You the cause of all of this. To this man who finds peace at the feet of the Almighty, who said, dear Lord, when I was like this angry beast, you still held on to me. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of such difficult customers like as myself. And therefore, just hear verse 28 again. But as for me, it is good to be near God. You see, God is always near. This is the point. This is what he has just said. God is always near. But now it's good for me to know this. It's bad for me not to know this. It's bad for me to live in anger towards you and others. It's good for me to live anger-free, because this will surely happen when I live consciously and presently in the presence of the Almighty, because God does not allow me to live in his presence with an angry heart. He doesn't allow poison in my life to poison me while I'm in his presence that's full of grace and forgiveness and peace. And therefore, it's good for me to live in the presence of God. May I ask, and you? What is good in your life? Do you think it's good to be angry? As one of my friends said the other day, actually, there are only two kinds of people on the planet today. Those who are angry already and those who are becoming angry. Don't do that. It's not good. Well, it's your choice, as Asaph says. But as for me, I shall be in the presence of the Lord. I will hold on to his hand full of goodness. And I've made him my refuge. And I will also tell of your deeds. I was wrong to blame you. I was wrong to point the finger to you. You are a good, good Father. You are the God of love and life and mercy. So may I ask, and may I in the name of the Lord invite you into his presence, into his sanctuary. Come as you are. Come as you are. All sinners welcome, all of us, with our anger, with our feelings of guilt, with all the poison that we've swallowed over the past few weeks due to circumstances around us that we couldn't control. Let's bring this all into the presence of the Lord, the good, good Father who says, I'm with you, and I will be with you all the days of your life. And therefore, let's end this psalm. Let's join in with Asaph and make this our own proclamation, our own statement of faith. It is good for me to be in the presence of the Lord. It's good for me to declare God is my refuge. And it's good for me to proclaim the good deeds of God. For the rest, you may live in anger. God has made me anger-free, and he's in the process of eliminating all anger out of my life through his Holy Spirit. hear the word of the Lord and be blessed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we may be in your presence today. Lord, you know that there are so many reasons in my life for anger. And you know that I've given free boarding and lodging to anger in so many ways. I confess this and I bring it in the open into your presence. Help me, set me free. Help me to say the words that Asaph has said at the end of the psalm. For me, it's good to be in the presence of the Almighty God. You will be my refuge from now on, and I will proclaim your deeds of kindness and love. Thank you that I may receive your forgiveness and that I may receive your freedom and your peace. Thank you that I may pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May you now receive the blessing of the Lord. May you live in his peace. May you experience the presence of his Holy Spirit. And may you experience the presence of our Lord Jesus now and forever. Amen.